Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews. I'm William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm doing okay. You know, I know you're pumped for tonight. Yes. Opening day for you, for your Yankees.
Yep. Yankees, Red Sox. Nothing better. Can't get better than that. Looking forward to it tonight on ESPN2. Better beat their asses.
Yeah, I see. You know what the starting lineup is already?
I think everybody's going to be playing tonight. It's going to be Jeter.
First, Granderson.
No, I think second is going to be Nick Johnson. Third is going to be Teixeira. Fourth, A-Rod. Fifth, Cano. Sixth, I think it's going to be
Posada.
Posada. Seventh, and Swisher. Eighth, I think Granderson might bat eighth. And ninth probably is a Gardner or Wynn. And, of course, the pitching is going to be CC Sabathia. And the Red Sox, you know, I don't know their whole lineup. But I know, what's his name, he's going to be pitching. Beckett might be pitching tonight, so. So it's going to be Beckett versus CC Sabathia.
Yeah, it's going to be a... an interesting duel. Won't be the first time they've went toe-to-toe, especially last year.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun game.
Fenway. Yep. Opening night.
So I guess the opening day, we'll lead off with your Yankees. Talk a little Mets. Their opening day is tomorrow at 1:10.
Yeah.
Mets versus Marlins. It's gonna be Johan Santana versus Josh Johnson in his first opening day debut.
Right.
And we're gonna open in Citi Field. It's been a while since we've opened. Seems like it's been a while since we opened a home game.
Oh, okay. You guys are playing who again? Marlins?
Marlins.
Oh, okay.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Talk a little hoops, even though the teams are, you know, horrible. Nothing really changed. I mean, it's just put on any other episodes of this year's and last year's Sports Urban Legends. It's pretty much the same thing. Knicks and Nets thing. Even though Nets did win their last game recently, but Knicks versus Clippers later tonight in LA, if anyone cares. I'm probably the only one that cares.
Somebody's going to watch that, please.
Yeah, I'm going to flick to that in opening day. Yeah,
The Yankees.
Yeah, your Yankees versus the Red Sox.
And
I'll check that out. And of course,
you're watching the Yankees and NCAA women's basketball.
Yeah, at least
it's Connecticut.
At least they play. They definitely play with more heart than the Knicks.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah, I know everybody does, especially the people on Rucker Park. But we'll talk a little hoops. Unfortunately, nothing else really else is going on. I mean, other than opening day, that's definitely the marquee. Now we'll talk a little. Pro wrestling and Shawn Michaels saying goodbye to the fans, or WWE Universe as they call it now. And we'll also talk about SmackDown, which was a real good SmackDown. But we'll discuss that also later on. But first, we're gonna lead off, no pun intended, with the Yankees opening up. They're in Fenway, I believe, right?
Yep, it's going to be at Fenway. And when we go to Fenway, it's never good. Never a good thing when we go to Fenway. So seeing all those ugly Red Sox fans and that stupid monster green
Wally
chicken wall that they have there.
Yeah, that's even the monster Wally.
Wally.
The monster. You know how I know that? I'll tell you after you say what you're saying. I apologize.
But I just hate going down there and playing there. I never like going down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope the Yankees come out on top today, tonight, and we pound them for 10, 15 runs or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be. I think the final score is going to be 15 to 2, Yankees.
Why are you being generous? You think the Red Sox will score some runs?
Yeah, they'll score.
You're not completely a Yankee homer.
They can score. You know, they're a good offensive team, you know, so they'll score at least two runs.
What was it going to be, two home runs from David Ortiz?
I don't think Ortiz is going to do anything tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing CC Sabathia, so.
Speaking of David Ortiz, that reminds me of that old Posada and David Ortiz ESPN commercial.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah, I saw that like a couple of days ago. I never seen the beginning of it, like when Posada has the hat and he's like, it's too big or something like that. But
yeah.
He takes the hat. When I always see the commercial, I always see up until the point when he already has the hat on his head, and then Wally, the green monster from Fenway, the mascot,
yeah.
He happens to pass by and see David Ortiz wearing a Yankee hat while he's in a Red Sox jersey.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, Wally, is that what you think? And then Wally just walks away and just, like, he motioned his hand, like, in disgust and walks away. Like, how could you? And then he walks away. But, hey, you never know. David Ortiz might stand with the Yankees.
I doubt it. I doubt he'll ever come to the Yankees. He's getting up there in age, too, so.
That's true.
His power has gone down the last few years, so.
And it's also a testament to Theo Epstein. That guy, when he left Toronto, the Twins, you know, this guy was, like, averaging 14 home runs, And then, you know, any team could have signed him for, you know, for less money. And, you know, Red Sox took a gamble and, you know, led to two World Series rings.
Yeah.
And, I mean, of course, we know about these modern-day teams. Of course, David Ortiz and his partner in crime, Manny Ramirez, have been rumored to be taking performance-enhancing stuff.
Right. I mean, you know. Yeah, Manny was a big part of those championship Red Sox teams, and now he's in L.A. now.
Yeah.
But David Ortiz, yeah, he had some great years with the Red Sox.
Yeah, they were you know, a dynamic duo, those two.
Yeah, you know, like Garrigan Roof.
Yep.
Putting up big RBI numbers and then a home run every year.
Yep.
But since Manny has left, you know, Ortiz has, I don't know what's happened to him. His numbers are going down since Manny has left, so. He suffered since Manny has gone to L.A.
Pretty obvious. I mean, when you have, a Hall of Fame guy like Manny Ramirez, I mean, he's the best RBI guy in modern-day history right now. I mean, in this steroid era, this guy has been putting a lot of massive – I mean, with the exception of last year, that was the first year he finally came back to earth, you know, hitting
yeah.
19 home runs and, I believe, 66 RBIs,
mm-hmm.
you know. Manny Ramirez is finally showing that he's human, and he's being in his late 30s is starting to catch up to him, as everybody, it seems it does that to everybody except for Barry Bonds, but we all know he had a little bit of performance enhancement help, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I expect the Yankees to win the game. You better not lose.
It'd be a good series, and then the next game after that, gonna be Lackey in his Red Sox debut versus Burnett. Is it Burnett or is it Pettit? I'm trying to remember.
I think it's Burnett.
Yeah,
Burnett is
right.
The second starter.
And then it's gonna be Pettit and let me is it Wakefield?
No, I think Wakefield's a fourth starter now.
Because Matt Suzaka, he's gonna start the season on the DL.
Yeah, isn't it Lester?
Oh, you're probably right. It is probably Lester. Yeah, it is. It is Lester.
It is Lester. Yeah.
Right.
Wakefield's a fourth starter, and Buckholz is the fifth starter.
Right. Yeah, it should be a fun series as it usually is. I mean,
yeah.
Might as well bring your pillow because the game's gonna go at least 5 hours. By the time it's over, you're gonna be going to sleep.
Yeah, it looks like it could end at midnight tonight. But I'm a Yankee fan, so I'll watch it.
Is it gonna start at 7 or is it gonna start? Is it gonna start usually at 8 o'clock like ESPN usually does?
It's going to start 8. It's going to be on ESPN, too. It's not going to be on
yeah.
ESPN. And
so, yeah.
You could also watch it on YES Network. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would assume you'd be able to watch it on YES.
I'm not sure, but I have to check.
You might be right, because ESPN has that exclusive, when their games are on, no other... So nothing else could broadcast it, but maybe there might be a loophole since, you know, Yankees are, it's, you know, the hometown team, but I don't know. Guess you'll have to flick through both to see.
Yeah. And I was watching the MLB prediction show earlier today, and they were predicting the Red Sox to win the division, which I disagree with because I think the Yankees are going to win the division. I mean, we're the defending champs. We should be picked to win it.
And let me guess, they picked you guys to beat Red Sox in the ALCS. Because everybody's marking that down that, it's going to be, the ALCS, you guys against Red Sox.
Most of the guys that I saw, they picked the Red Sox to go to the World Series to face the Rockies.
Rockies? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Rockets
picking the Rockies to go to the World Series.
Oh, wow. I mean, this isn't the 07 Rockies. I mean, they want the rematch of the 07 World Series.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know they were good last year, but they're not a very good team. I don't think so.
I mean, other than Osvaldo Giménez, who had a great year, the other guys, I mean, they're good. They had bad numbers, but they have potential.
Yeah.
But
I think it'd be Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series this year.
Possible.
But people have been waiting for that for the last 3 years. It might be Yankees and Dodgers. Who knows?
Could be.
Dodgers have gotten better. I mean, they didn't do much in the offseason.
Yeah, but the problem is they can never get past Phillies.
Phillies, yeah. Well, this might be the year.
Yeah, I think the last time they got past Phillies was the last time Dodgers beat Phillies was probably 1981, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while, I think.
This might be the year. Who knows?
Could be.
And, you know, Torrey come back to the Bronx again. Face the Yankees. And by the way, the Yankees will play the Dodgers in the Interleague Series this year.
In L.A. or in New York?
I'm not sure.
I guess
but they will play all of those NL West teams.
And, of course, their Interleague rivals.
The Dodgers?
No, who's the Yankees interleague rival?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about the Mets. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of the Mets, you know, they have their opening day is tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not going to, of course, have the same buzz as, you know, Yankee Red Sox, but, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what start if the Mets get off to a hot start, because if they don't, there's going to be a lot of changes.
Oh yeah.
To the Mets organization, and let's just say Omar Minaya and Gary Manuel won't be happy with the results.
Yeah.
Because Reyes, they're going to have Daniel Murphy, who's supposed to be the starting first baseman,
mm-hmm.
And Carlos Beltran, you know, the starting center fielder, they're all going to start the DL. So they're going to need a lot of guys like Jacobs and Gary Matthews, who's going to start over Pagan. And Reyes, Cora is going to lead off, which I'm perplexed by that move. I would prefer Pagan to start in center and him lead off. But Pagan's going to be on the bench for opening day. The starting lineup is suspected to be Cora, I think Matthews, Wright, Jacobs, Jason Bay, the new Met. Then Frank Kaur, then Barajas, and then eight would. Oh wait, oh I know who I forgot. Castillo is gonna bat second, and then you're gonna have to. And then I think Matthews would be seventh, and then Barajas, and then Santana.
Okay. What about the Marlins?
The Marlins, I've been hearing that they're going to have Hanley Ramirez, I believe. He's not going to be leading off anymore. I think he's going to bat third, but I don't have the lineup as of yet.
So he's not going to be a leadoff hitter anymore?
No, I think they're going to move him. They want him to bat third also, like Reyes.
Oh, well, this guy, yeah, Ramirez could do it because this guy.
Yeah, he has the power. He has the legitimate power. His defense isn't all that good, but offensively, he's the best offensive shortstop in the National League.
Question.
So yeah, the starting rotation for both teams in this series is going to be Santana versus Josh Johnson. Here's the shakeup. John Maynard is gonna pitch number two instead of Pelfrey against who was it again? I forgot. I think it's gonna be Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot the last person for the rubber game. If the series gets split, it's gonna be Jonathan Nease.
Tonight it's
Monday.
Santana versus.
No,
Jim
you mean
Johnson?
The bat? No, Monday. Monday, 1 p.m.
No, yeah, same, but Monday's gonna be Santana versus Joe Johnson. You said?
Josh Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jonathan Nease, he was the fifth starter of last year, and he got injured last year. He was one of the 20 players on the Mets that went on the DL. I don't know if you remember, he was covering first base, and he did a split, and he, like, tore his hamstring. And then when he tried to throw warm-up pitches to show that he's okay, one of his legs gave out, and he collapsed and fell on the floor, and he had to be helped off the field.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of injuries, and 2010 didn't start off great.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Three players they were counting on already hurt already.
And hopefully the Mets don't have the injuries that they had last year, you know, because.
Yeah, they didn't start off well.
This year, just like you did last year, I mean, you could expect the same results.
Yep. And congratulations to Henry Mejia, he's a minor league. He's the top prospect, pitching prospect for the Mets. He was expected to be a starter to start in Double A, but Mets are promoting him to be a reliever, kind of like a Jabba Chamberlain. You know, if you remember Dal Strawberry, who's going to throw out the first pitch tomorrow for the opening day. Him and Jerry Manuel were quoted as saying that his movement on the ball, you know, reminds them of Mariano Rivera.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, he's only 20 years old, and, you know, that's a lot of pressure to put on the guy, so.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, you stole the words right out of my mouth. He has a long way to go. You know, to be, you know, compared to the, you know, greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's only 20 years old, so he still has room for improvement and he'll mature as he, you know, learns as he plays in the professional league, and he learns some of these other guys in the bullpen.
So reportedly, Manuel said that he is not gonna pitch tomorrow. I don't know if he wants to take the pressure off him, you know, the first game of the season. But it would be his major league debut.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they want to take a little added, you know, have a little less pressure on him when he makes his major league debut. Maybe that might be the reason.
They're just waiting for the right opportunity to put him in there.
Yeah, because this guy was, you know, this guy's the best, is their best pitching prospect. And this guy, you know, should be, you know, in Double A trying to, you know, work on his other secondary pitches. So this guy, he throws hard, and his fastball has a natural movement to it that it's like a cutter. But his other secondary pitches need more work. He needs to, you know, refine his pitching, so. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that, you know, in the major leagues. I mean, but we shall see.
Yeah.
And moving to, oh, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, no, you can finish.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll just finish it up quickly. Yeah, Ruben Tejeda, he's a 20-year-old shortstop in the Mets organization. He plays, I think, short and second. He's also being promoted also, so him and Cora is going to split that position, that you know, the shortstop. So congratulations to him. He's going to make his major league debut eventually, very soon, this year. As you were saying, I apologize for cutting you off.
I was just going to ask, who's going to be the setup guy for the Mets?
That's a very good question, Mark. And I don't even know if they know the answer right now. I mean, Pedro Feliciano
was supposed to be the guy, but he got injured.
Which guy you said?
J.J. Putz.
Oh, J.J. Putz, he signed with White Sox.
Yeah, no, but remember, he was with you guys last year, and he was supposed to pitch, but he got injured.
Yeah, he did, right. And he pitched hurt.
Yeah.
And then he had a $9 million option. They you know, naturally didn't pick it up, and they were planning on trying to re-sign him to a cheaper deal, but he signed with the White Sox to set up Bobby Jenks.
Mm. This guy, you know, he wants to be a closer.
Yeah, he does. That's the main reason why he left. And I was a little surprised that he left and signed to the White Sox to be a setup man.
Setup guy.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe he thinks, you know, Bobby Jenks, you know, he's getting towards the end of his career with the White Sox, and maybe he might get traded or sign with another team when he becomes a free agent soon. So maybe that's his thinking. And he badmouthed the Mets when he left, you know. But then again, you know, some players do tend to do that when they leave the Mets. But baseball should be, you know, interesting in the city. But, I mean, no one's really worried about the Yankees. I mean, you know, Yankees are, you know, a playoff team. You know, most likely a championship-caliber team. Even though I don't think they'll repeat, but we shall see.
What did Putz say?
No, he was saying, like, how they knew, you know, when they made the trade for him, they knew he was hurt. They'd even make him do a physical. You know, and when he didn't do a physical until after he got hurt.
Oh.
And he tried to pitch through it. But he never said anything like that when he was with the team. And he was saying that the Mets are a mess. He wasn't saying that when he was...
Mets?
Huh?
He said the Mets are a mess?
Yeah, are a mess. Yeah, he did say that.
Oh, wow.
Right after he signed with the White Sox.
Messed up.
I mean, I give credit to Billy Wagner. I mean, when he wants to say, you know, Billy Wagner, when he was with the Phillies, when he had beef with the Phillies, when they were asking him, the last year when he was with the Phillies, they asked him when he was a member of the Phillies, does he think they're going to make the postseason? He was like, shoot, this was like 2005. He was saying, shoot, you know, he don't think they're going to, the way how they've been playing, you know, like they don't deserve to go to the playoffs, and he don't think they'll go to the playoffs. And then, you know, that's when him and Pat Burrell had this beef with each other.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, I give the guy credit. You know, the guy, you know, while he's on the team, he's not scared of his teammates. He voices opinions. And, of course, we know Billy Wagner as a Met. You know, he voices opinions how, you know, some of the players, you know, Don't talk to the media, and let him and David Wright be the only ones you know answering questions after, you know, Mets, you know, blow games and stuff like that.
Well, but that was because, you know, some of the players can't speak English, right?
Well, I mean, the players could speak English. I mean,
but the English is like limited.
I mean, they speak well. I mean. you know, he was referring to Delgado. He's referring to Beltran. I mean, he didn't say that by name, but, you know, guys, you know, who, you know, that aren't, you know, aren't around, you know, like, they get their butt kicked, you know. You know, they drive home quick, you know, quickly without answering to the media. And but when they're winning, they're always there to answer. So,
yeah, I'm
Billy Wagner was.
What are you gonna say?
I was just saying Billy Wagner was just calling them out on being, you know, hypocrites that, you know, they're the first one to answer questions when they win a game, but when they lose a tough game, you know, they're the first ones to leave.
But then again,
I think they're good with the bat.
Yeah, but then again, you know, the media, they like to talk to guys when they lose. Like,
oh, of course.
Benitez was the closer for the Mets. He said that the only time the media wanted to talk to him was when he blew a save.
Oh, Benitez is 100% right. I remember when he said that. Because a closer is a thankless job. You know, when you're doing your job, no one's going to talk to you because they expect you to do your job.
Yep.
You know, save the game. When you go to the lead, that's when they want to talk to you. Hey, what happened? Are you hurt? You know, was it the pressure? You know, that's when they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
And that happens to Benitez almost every day.
Especially when you're facing the Yankees and the Braves. And in September and October, man, this guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, he's statistically one of the best closers, you know, in the game when he played, but, man, when the pressure, I mean, understandably so, I mean, there's a lot of pressure in this stuff, but if you're supposed to be an elite closer, you're supposed to bear down and, you know, man up and don't choke in pressure situations. I know it's hard, it's easier said than done, but, and Lord knows, nobody else can be Mariano Rivera, but,
yeah,
I mean, even he's blown games recently.
Yeah.
He's human. But, you know, he has to, that's the problem with Benitez. It was like he was in New York tough. And because of that, that's why you guys beat us. Even though everybody expects you guys to beat us.
Yeah. But, you know, we're a better team, that's why.
But you were a better team, but that's where the underdogs, man. Even though we had the better record than you guys, but you guys had the experience of winning 3 championships leading up to the 2000 World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys, the Yankee fans want to, you know, pop their collar and, you know, pump their chest, you know, that they dominated us. Yes, you won 4 out of 5, but if you analyze the game closely, if you remember the games, most of the games, three out of the five games were all one-run games. 2 of them were won by you guys. The only game we won was a 2-run lead. And then the last game was, of course, a 2-run lead when Mike Piazza almost tied the game, but he missed a 2-run home run. That's, of course, the end of the World Series. And the Yankee fans, modern-day Yankee fans, favorite World Series that they love to talk about. Because you know why? Because the Mets made them famous.
Well, you're the one that's talking about it right now. So.
Yes, I'm talking about it right now.
You obviously care more about it than the Yankee fans do.
Yes, I do care about it because that would have been my shot, the closest shot I had with my team winning a championship.
Well, you need to move on, bro.
No, I won't move on. I want vengeance. I want the Mets to kick you guys' butts in the World Series.
Well, then hope for that this year.
Hey, I always hope for that. But my guys keep choking. Don't worry, relax, man. It will come.
That'd be positive.
I will be positive. The Mets go to the World Series, beat you guys, or whoever is lucky enough, who's ever unfortunate to face the Mets.
What is your baseball predictions, like for who's going to win the divisions and who's going to go to the World Series? What's your predictions?
All right. My prediction for the ALCS is that It's going to be you or the Red Sox who's going to win the AL East.
Okay.
And then the one of you guys are going to win the you know what? Fine. I'm going to say you guys win the division. Red Sox win the wild card by less than 2 games. And then you guys face each other in the world, the ALCS as usual. And you guys lose.
Okay.
And then the Mets face Mets and Phillies. Mets win the division.
Mm-hmm.
First time in 4 years.
Right.
Phillies win the wild card. NLCS, Mets, Phillies. Mets beat the Phillies. And then Mets face the Red Sox 86 rematch. And Mets win again.
Okay.
That's my prediction. But I sure would love to beat you guys. I mean, I was rooting for you guys to go to the World Series in 2000. I could kick you guys' butt.
Right.
But, of course, we know how that turned out.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. Because when you guys had that, I think it was game 6, I was rooting for you guys to win. So I can finish the job myself, but. Easier said than done.
Well, those predictions are good. I predict that the Yankees will win the AL East. I think the Angels will win the West, as usual.
Right.
I think the Twins will win the Central. The wild card will be the Red Sox. And the National League, I think the Phillies winning the East. I think the Dodgers winning the West.
Right.
And the Central, I pick in the Cardinals. Right. And the wild card, going to pick you guys, the Mets. But then I think you guys are going to get beaten by the Cardinals, just like you guys got beaten by them in 2006.
I knew you were going to bring that up. And, hey, maybe you guys, maybe that's why I think, you know, Red Sox are going to beat you guys like they did in 04.
Yeah.
When they won the World Series. And then beat that same Cardinal team 2 years earlier.
I think in an LCS is going to be Dodgers and Cardinals.
Oh, NLCS, you said.
Yeah, NLCS is going to be Dodgers and Cardinals, Dodgers and Vans. In the ALCS, it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox, and Yankees and Vans. And it's going to be Yankees, Dodgers World Series.
And of course, you're going to put the Yankees to defend.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yankees will put the Dodgers. Really, Torrey versus the whole team.
How do you feel Dodgers beat the Yankees?
I could see that happening. You know, Torre using his magic to beat the Yankees.
I
mean, he did manage us, so he may know how to beat us.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, you know, during the game, Joe Torre and Girardi get into a fist fight?
That'd be the funniest thing. Although I doubt that would happen, but that would be funny.
Then you see Don Zimmer watching in the home plate, over his eyes. That'd be funny.
Yeah,
I don't think that happened though, but
no.
That'd be kind of shocking, to be honest. I'd be like, come on, man. That'd be embarrassing. I'd be like, come on, guys. You guys are two grown men, and you're fighting each other.
And Or he's the coach, Girardi.
That would be funny.
Like,
you see them
with his mentor.
You see them find like two old guys. Come on, and then they're flexing, you know, their muscles. Like, come on, man, come on. Give me something.
I don't think Torrey would do that, man. that's my prediction.
Who would win that fight then?
Girardi. Girardi's younger.
Dude, I think Girardi's going to put him in a headlock, start punching him, and then Torre's going to reverse it and start punching him with his four rings.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Who'd you root for?
I wouldn't root for anyone. First of all, I wouldn't want them to fight. That would be ridiculous.
And then the umpire says, "Hey, break it up!" And then they both punch the umpire. They sucker punch the umpire. They're turning into a WWE match right now.
That'd be crazy if that ever happened. But we've seen crazier things happen, so I wouldn't be surprised. Well, yeah, I would be surprised because before he was with the Yankees, and now Joe Girardi manages the Yankees, and then they're fighting for no reason.
Yep.
I mean, who are the players going to support? Who's Jeter going to like?
I think the old school guys are going to support Torrey, but they're not going to admit that in public.
So you think they're going to stop beating up on Girardi?
No, they're not going to fight. Jeter's going to be neutralized as usual. Jeter ain't going to do nothing. What controversy has Jeter ever been involved in his career?
He's going to sit back and relax.
He's going to sit back and relax. Or he might break up the fight.
Yeah.
Or he might just sit back and just stand there. And you know A-Rod ain't going to do nothing but except chew bubble gum.
A-Rod might get into it. A-Rod, he's had these scuffles before.
Please. The only scuffle he got into is when he slapped that ball against the Red Sox. In the postseason. Wasn't that 04? When they were throwing a fourth play at first, and he slapped the ball when he reached first base.
No, it's in that same season, regular season, he got into a fight with a Veritek.
Didn't he put him in a headlock?
Well, I think
Veritek
pushed him and A-Rod from the headlock or something.
The guy
and
was
it turned into an all-out brawl.
The guy was wearing a gear, man. The guy was wearing his catcher gear still, I think.
And he was going to get into it with your catcher, the Met catcher.
Two
years ago.
Oh, are you talking about when he hit the grand slam off somebody? Soler, I think. I think it was Ali Soler. Spectre
pitcher. Yeah, and what was the name of the catcher again? What was the name of the Italian guy?
Loduca?
Loduca, yeah.
Yeah, Loduca.
His face was saying something. I don't know why Loduca was getting in his face for.
He was showing the guy hit a grand. He hit a grand slam off the. Yeah, I remember that now very well now. Mets was winning like 4-0. And he was leading like they were leading. Mets was leading 4-0 on the Yankees. And then afterwards, in that one inning, the guy gave up 3 runs. He loaded the bases. Then A-Rod, you know, he hit the home run and he's showboating. You know, he's like, you know, he's showboating and he blown his bubble. You know the A-Rod home run try. You know, taking his time. You know, rubbing it in the opposition, you know.
But that's the first time that Loduca saw something like that? I mean,
He didn't like the guy getting showed up like that.
If it was any other player, he wouldn't have done that. But because it's A-Rod, he did that.
Yeah, because supposedly your guys know how to play the game. Your guys don't show. Supposedly the perception is that your guys are classy and they don't got to show opposition up, historically speaking.
This tiny Italian guy standing up to a... I thought that was funny.
Well, I don't think they fought.
Yeah, no, I know, but, you know, Loduca was getting up in his face a little bit there.
Yeah. Who do you think would have won that fight?
A-Rod.
Nah, I thought Loduca would have...
Loduca like 5'6", and A-Rod like, what, 6'4"?
Duca's a tough, gritty dude, man. And he's a catcher, man.
He don't want to kick his ass.
Try going behind the plate, having foul balls hit off your hands and your legs and all over the place.
Wow. I could do that.
That's tough, man.
A catcher's gear, a catcher's mask and everything, all that gear that they wear.
Yeah, but it doesn't really help. It doesn't really help, you know, all that pressure because the thing, it stings. It ricochets off the protective gear, and it ricochets right off your body. It protects some of that.
Bad backs and messed up knees, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hardly tough.
Catching him was one of the toughest positions.
You could kick their ass, though, because they had bad backs and bad knees.
I mean,
they messed them up.
But those guys are tough, man. They don't, you know, you don't want to mess with a catcher. You wouldn't want to fight Girardi.
I could beat him.
You wouldn't
want to
fight Girardi.
I would kick his ass.
Yeah, right. If Girardi came up in your face right now and said, "How do you call it?" Would you want to fight him?
If he touched me.
What about if he wanted to shake your hand?
I'll kick his hand back.
You would kick? Oh, you said you would shake his hand back. Okay.
No, if he touches me, I'll fight him. If he touches me, yeah, we'll get into a fight. I don't know if I'm going to win because these catchers are in bad condition.
And he is retired.
Thank you. And they can't run for shit. Name one catcher that can run in baseball.
None.
See?
Don't go raise Mysterio on him. His legs.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rey Mysterio,
catching
shit. Yeah, he beat CM Punk at WrestleMania. So now he on SmackDown CM Punk challenged him to join to a match. If he wins, if he loses, then he joins. If Rey Mysterio loses, then he has to join the Straight Edge Society. If CM Punk loses, he's gonna give up something that symbolizes his position in the Straight Edge Society, which is his hair. Because since he's a leader, he doesn't have to shave his head bald.
Yeah, I mean, you know, CM Punk thinks he's Jesus. He must be celebrating this holiday today.
Maybe he's celebrating himself and his Australia's lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is hypocritical. I mean, he cuts people's hair, but he doesn't want his hair to be cut. But now he's saying if he loses to Rey Mysterio, he'll cut his hair. I mean, shouldn't he have cut it beforehand?
Well, since he's a leader, he doesn't have to do it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because it symbolizes
he's supposed to set an example.
Well, yeah, but in his ideology, you know, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, but the people he convinced to go to his society, you know, to pledge their allegiance to his lifestyle of, you know, non-drinking and, you know, not taking drugs, you know, you have to shave your head bald. I guess the hair symbolizes the impurities, according to him.
And come on, let's be real here. In real life, do you think he really doesn't do those things, looking at him? The guy looks like a rocker.
Yeah, he does look like a rocker.
I mean, I doubt that he doesn't do those things.
I mean, maybe he does, who knows? I mean, he's not afraid of needles because he has a drug-free tattooed onto his knuckles, so.
Right.
Who knows? I mean.
Yeah, he probably doesn't do drugs, but I mean, as far as drinking and partying, probably does that.
Supposedly he doesn't, but who knows?
Who knows? I mean, it is a character, so.
Yeah. But he had that character even before he went to WWE, when he was fighting, you know, independent wrestling federation. But fast-forwarding back to Raw, of course, it was highlighted by Shawn Michaels giving his retirement speech. And, you know, of course, we all know wrestling is fake, but, you know, it looks like it was a real, you know, speech from the heart. Looked like they... You know, WWE gave him a couple of minutes, you know, the last, 10, 15 minutes of the show to, you know, voices, you know, his feelings about his career, the fans, and, you know, his life after retirement.
Right.
So, it was a, you know, it was a nice, touching speech about, you know, how, you know, before he found God, you know, his only family he felt was the, you know, the fans who supported him.
In the WWE, like said, you know, universe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he thanked the fans, you know, for being, you know, for giving himself a reason to like himself when he didn't like himself. He thanked his longtime buddy, Triple H. Yeah. And, of course, at the end, they look like, you know, when they hug, they look like they were about to kiss each other in the mouth because Triple H's nose, you know, was all over his face, you know. And he also thanked Vince McMahon for, you know, putting up with him. He thanked Bret Hart because, you know, Bret Hart forgave him, you know, after the Montreal screw job. And then he lastly, I think after, before he, then he thanked the fans, and then he thanked, you know, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, for, you know, making him find, you know, salvation. So, you know, it was a touching speech, you know, from Shawn Michaels. I'm, you know, it looks like, what are you saying?
25-year career.
Yeah.
Spanning from
1985 to 2010.
Yep.
And, of course, we know from 98, after WrestleMania to 2002, he, because of the back injury, you know, he had a four-year near retirement.
A hiatus.
Yeah. And unfortunately, my biggest beef with the whole thing is that WWE, from 96 to 2000, from 96 to 98, and of course from 2002 to 2004, they could have did something, you know, wise and made him at least fought Rock one time. But of course, you know, that never happened. And it's like it will never happen.
He's gone now, and it doesn't look like Rock is coming back anytime soon either.
Well, supposedly, you know, he said he's coming back in the summertime. So we shall see. And he didn't leave out the window, the door open that he left the door open that he, you know, he might, you know, wrestle again, you know, if the storyline is right. And but we shall see.
Yeah.
And also Goldberg is rumored to returning too.
Goldberg. I dreamt about Goldberg too last night.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I dreamt about him. I dreamt that he was coming back to the WWE.
That's weird, dude. You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Because I had a dream about WWE, which I never do. I had a dream that I was watching a Divas match, and then afterwards, the match was going on, you know, with all the Divas, and then I hear, "It's just now." What, the Rock, and then you see Rock and Goldberg run into the arena, and then you know how Rock usually does his usual entrance? He didn't do that. He ran, and he ran like as if he was John Cena, and he slid underneath the ring, which isn't what Rock does. And him and Goldberg, I don't know, they look like they formed a tag team or something. And then that's when I woke up, as weird as that sounds.
Well, they could be. Well, Goldberg is probably coming back, and Rock could be too.
Yeah. Maybe Rock will finally get revenge.
Yeah.
Goldberg whooping his butt in SummerSlam in 2003, I believe.
Although, you know, Goldberg is a bit overrated, though.
Yeah, he is. Cause he was like Ultimate Warrior. He, you know, he's not a good worker. You know, he always want to, you know, humiliate his opponent.
Yeah.
And we all know what happened to Bret Hart. In Bret Hart's last match, he gave him like this kick that... Simple. Pretty much nearly paralyzed Bret Hart and, you know, pretty much ended his career.
Gave Bret Hart concussion.
Yeah. And then ironically, Bret, a couple of years later, probably, what was it, maybe 3 or 4 years later, Bret Hart got in a car accident and He got paralyzed, and he had to learn how to walk and talk again. And,
he looks like he's back now. He whooped Vince McMahon's ass at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he sure did. Vince McMahon, man. I heard that might be the end of his Mr. McMahon persona, evil villain persona, because he started that character after the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
So that might have been the end of the Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon, Million Dollar Man copycat persona, and maybe from here on, Vince McMahon's gonna be a good guy.
Yeah, man, that guy
don't
got something like a vagina.
He got his butt kicked. It wasn't even a fight. It was it wasn't even a brawl, man. It was just a butt kicking. I mean, we all wanted to see Vince McMahon get his butt kicked, but it was like, damn. After the 10th or 15th chair shot, it was like, man, enough is enough. Just end this match.
He got his butt kicked.
Badly. He got his butt kicked so badly that it didn't even get interesting. It was like, man, that's what I was afraid of the match, because it's like these guys are both like over 50. Brett's like 52. Vince is like what, 65 or so?
Yeah.
Are
you talking about age?
Yeah, an age.
Well, Bret Hart's way younger than Vince McMahon is.
Yeah, Brett's like 52, and Vince is, I say, about 65.
Really? I thought Vince was older than that.
Well, that's reportedly, I think, what he's saying. I mean,
I thought Vince was like in his 60s or something.
60s, you said?
I thought Vince was like in his 60s.
Yeah, that's what I said, 65. 65.
Oh, I thought he said 55. You did say 65, right? Not 55.
What did you say?
You said 65 or 55?
65.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you said 55, because I was about to say, like, what? There's no way they're near close to each other's age.
No. This was at the first WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, 26 years ago, not at...
Yeah, he's old.
Not doing the math.
An old dude.
Yep. And I was like, man, end the match, because it's like the worst thing, even though we all pretty much knew, just like the John Cena Batista match, we knew John Cena would win the match. But when it came to Bret and Vince, it was like we knew Bret should win, because of, it'd be a moral, a victory for his morale and, all the stuff that. It would have made no point for the feud to happen if Vince would have just did a small package pin on him and beat him.
Yeah, but that WrestleMania was cool.
It was cool. I mean, they had some horrible matches, here and there. But, overall, it was a good WrestleMania.
Yeah, I liked it.
What do you think is that? The rematch of the Undertaker versus Shawn, or the original one from last year?
The one from last year was more exciting. But this one was just as good.
Yeah.
But the one from last year was better.
Yeah, I mean, it was real close. I mean, the last year's one, the only thing you see ahead of it is, like, it was unpredictable. This one was pretty much a happy kind of this match, except the moonsault that Bret Hart, Michael did to a table on the paper.
Yeah.
That's a really elevated level. It was pretty much a similar match. But, we all know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Joe Mokali for coming on the show. Thank the producer for giving her support. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legends. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Come on.